Welcome to the HN Pod, where your daily look at the Hacker News front page. It's Thursday, May 8th, 2025, and this is our 28th deep dive.
That's right. And today we're sorting through the top posts, trying to pull out the really interesting threads from the Hacker News community.
Exactly. Our goal, like always, is to unpack what's really driving these conversations, what's significant.
And it's quite a mix today, actually. We've got this super brief email from Steve Jobs from way back.
Yeah, that one caught my eye.
Then there's a new open source tool for coders called Void, plus some huge global news, the first American Pope being elected.
Wow, okay.
And we also saw a title about using NASA's SMAP-PES satellite for detecting interference, though fair warning, we don't have the actual article content for that one in our sources today, so we can't really dive deep there.
Right, okay.
But we will get into reservoir sampling, a pretty neat statistical technique. So yeah, mostly focusing on the other four.
Sounds good. Let's jump in. First up, that Steve Jobs email just from Steve Jobs. Great idea. Thank you. That's it. Four words from 1991, but the HN thread, it really took off. What was the main reaction you saw?
Well, it's interesting. I think people were struck by how, well, human it sounds. So direct, simple, even personable, especially given it was to an employee, Shaman, apparently suggesting steve@next.com email alias, maybe even on their first day at Nexty.
Wow, first day, getting that reply.
Exactly. And, you know, people really admired that directness, in contrast maybe to the later mythos around Jobs being harsher. It showed gratitude.
Yeah, it's such a small thing, but it clearly resonated. Some folks saw it as like real leadership. Imagine getting that note as a newbie.
Right. And then you had the funnier takes too, and people sharing stories about grabbing cool email addresses back in the day. It really does feel like a different time in tech.
Totally. That 1991 context came up a lot, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
Free domain names via email bots.
Right.
Things felt smaller, maybe more freedom.
Definitely. That whole era, the startup vibe, it helps frame the email. You know, maybe direct CEO replies were a bit more common then, less corporate layers.
Yeah.
We even saw a quick side discussion about an early Google electric car test. Just reinforces that feeling of, I don't know, early, less formal innovation.
Okay, so shifting from the past to right now, the next big one is Void, open source cursor alternative. Cursor being one of those AI coding assistants people are talking about. What's the chatter around Void?
Okay, so Void is positioned as an open source auction. Hmm. Giving developers more control seems to be the main angle. The developer behind it apparently feels that having AI built into the whole IDE rather than just as an extension is, well, a better experience. That seems to be a trend.
Hmm. Interesting point, like a tighter integration.
Yeah. We don't have the full feature list right here, but the user comments give you a sense of where it's headed. People are already comparing it to other tools.
Right, I saw that. What kind of comparisons are popping up?
Lots. Clean Client, VS Code's Copilot Agent Mode, Root Code, Kilo Code, even editors like Zed. And it feeds into this broader debate, you know? Are these AI tools better for beginners or for experienced devs? Some worry novices might rely on them too much, not learn the fundamentals.
Yeah, the classic question with any powerful tool.
Well, you know, seasoned developers might see them as speed boosters, and having Void as open source, that definitely appeals to the desire for transparency, for control over the tools you use. Less black box.
That control aspect seems key, especially with AI. I noticed one user mentioned using Void for indexing Rust docs and MD books.
Mm-hmm.
Said the RGAI part was hit or miss, but indexing worked well. What's RGAI briefly?
Right. RGAI is retrieval augmented generation. Basically, it means the AI pulls information from an external knowledge base like those Rust docs to try and give better, more grounded answers or code.
Okay.
So hit or miss probably means sometimes it finds the right piece of documentation to help and sometimes maybe not so much. But the indexing itself, organizing the info, that part worked.
Gotcha. Any other big themes on Void?
Well, the usual request for a Linux version came up, of course. Pretty standard for a developer tool.
Always.
And there was also a bit of caution. The idea of baitware. You know, where an open source project starts free and open, but then maybe adds paid tiers or restrictive licenses later.
The bait and switch worry.
Exactly. But Void is backed by Y Combinator and uses an Apache 2 license, which might ease some of those fears. Still, it's something the community keeps an eye on.
Okay, makes sense. Now for a complete shift. That headline. First American Pope elected and will be known as Pope Leo IV. That's huge news.
Yeah.
What are the details from the HN discussion?
Yeah, absolutely massive. Reports circulating on Hacker News say Cardinal Robert Prevost from Chicago was elected, first U.S.-born Pope. taking the name Leo the 14th.
Leo the 14th.
And apparently this happened today, May 8th, 2025. He's the 267th Pope. His first words were reportedly about peace, peace be with you all, and God's love.
Wow. And the global reactions, I imagine they flooded in.
Oh, definitely. A real spectrum. You had the Israeli president hoping for better ties, mm-hmm. the Palestinian Authority mentioning Pope Francis's peace work, Hamas hoping for solidarity with civilians, UNRWA looking to continue working for refugees. Then U.S. Vice President Vance sent congratulations. Leaders from Ireland, Spain, the EU, UAE, Ukraine.
So pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. Russia, Colombia, Lebanon too. All weighing in on peace, dialogue, human rights, the Holy See's role. Even the Peruvian soccer team gave a nod. It really shows the papacy's unique global position, doesn't it? Beyond just politics.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about the Hacker News thread itself? What were people there focusing on?
A lot of surprise, obviously, and tons of speculation about what it means for the church, especially in the U.S. Some lighthearted comments, too, like someone joking the fat pope, thin pope theory seems broken now.
Okay.
And discussion about whether he'll be aligned with Pope Francis on, say, human rights, but maybe more traditional on actual church doctrine. That seemed a common thread.
And the U.S. angle.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about political impact?
Oh, yeah. Some wondered if this signals a different kind of American voice globally, maybe a counterweight to certain political trends. Others speculated if it's a move to boost Catholicism in the U.S., you know, with the rise of evangelical groups. And the whole meaning of American got debated, reminding everyone it applies across the Americas, not just the U.S.
That's a good point. Any other interesting bits from the HN comments? Lighter stuff, maybe?
Well, the Chicago thing sparked jokes about Cubs versus White Sox fans. Apparently, his brother even commented on that.
Classic.
People also noted his background in the Augustinian Order, his leadership experience there, gave some context. And someone brought up the historical smoke signals used in elections.
A white smoke.
Exactly. And discussions about his specific views surfaced too, references to comments he apparently made regarding George Floyd, U.S. immigration, climate change, but also his stated opposition to things like women's ordination, euthanasia, abortion, the death penalty, and past criticism of the homosexual lifestyle. So, a complex picture.
Right, a lot to unpack there, and definitely requires careful, neutral reporting, which is what we're aiming for here, just conveying what was discussed.
Precisely. Just laying out the points raised in the thread. There were also mentions of Catholic doctrine debates, interpretations of scripture, natural law arguments, got quite detailed in places, and personal anecdotes about growing up Catholic.
Okay, quite a range. Let's move to the last main topic. Reservoir sampling. Sounds technical. What's the gist?
Yeah, it's a computer science technique. Basically, it's a smart way to pick a fixed number of items randomly from a huge stream of data, even if you don't know how much data is coming in total, like potentially infinite.
Okay, so sampling from a fire hose without knowing how long the hose is.
That's a good way to put it. The discussion mentioned a story about counting ptarmigan's birds as an example of how not to sample, how easy it is to get it wrong, and introduce bias.
Right, the ptarmigan anecdote. So how does reservoir sampling avoid that bias?
The main idea, often called algorithm R, is you keep a reservoir, your sample storage, of a fixed size, say K items. When a new item arrives from the stream, you calculate a probability. There's a chance this new item will replace one of the items currently in the reservoir, chosen randomly.
Ah, the maths ensures that at any given moment, the K items you're holding are a fair random sample of everything seen so far. Another way to think about it, mentioned in the comments, is assigning random scores or priorities to items and just keeping the top K.
Clever. Seems real useful with all the streaming data these days.
Exactly. It's becoming super important for analyzing massive data sets on the fly without getting swamped. Shows how elegant statistics can be for real-world problems.
One commenter worried about slow periods in the data stream getting overrepresented. Is that an issue?
That's a fair question. If you sampled based on time, like taking one sample every minute, slow minutes would get equal weight to busy minutes.
Right.
But reservoir sampling works item by item. Each item gets its chance, regardless of the flow rate. So the main use case discussed on HN was actually about protecting services, sampling incoming requests evenly, even during huge traffic spikes, to spot problems or understand patterns without blind spots.
Ah, so it helps handle bursts of activity fairly. Makes sense.
Nope.
It was also mentioned as a Google interview question. Yeah, apparently. It suggests Google uses it to test analytical thinking, not just memorizing the algorithm, but understanding why you need such a technique when you don't know the total data size, testing that grasp of principles in a practical setting.
Got it. And someone helpfully linked an implementation, which is nice.
Yep. always good when someone shares the code.
Okay, that covers our main articles. Another really varied set of discussions from Hacker News today.
Absolutely. Right. From Steve Jobs' foreword showing the power of simple communication.
Yeah.
To Void raising questions about open source and the future of AI in coding.
Mm-hmm.
Then the huge global event, the first American Pope, prompting thoughts on the church's role in U.S. society. And finally, reservoir sampling, a reminder of how vital smart stats are for dealing with today's data deluge.
It really is a fascinating mix. So maybe some final thoughts for you, our listeners, to chew on. For the Jobs email, what tiny interactions today might echo unexpectedly years down the line?
Good question. And for Void, how will open source continue to shape AI developer tools? Will it ensure users stay in control?
And the new Pope. How might having an American lead the Catholic Church change its global influence or its place within the U.S. itself?
And finally, reservoir sampling. Where else in everyday life or data analysis might unbiased sampling be more critical than we realize? Lots to think about.
Definitely. If you want to go deeper, please do check out the original Hacker News threads. Loads more detail and different perspectives there. Let us know what you think, too.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Hope you found it interesting.
Until next time, thanks for listening to the HN Pod.